Hey, this is Riley from Titans Wrath, and you're listening to the That Metal Interview Podcast.
That Metal Interview.
Will of the Beast is the title of EP number 2 for Titan's Wrath, and our guest is one of the guitar players, Riley Phillips, hailing out of San Bernardino, California, and he is here to talk about the band, its beginnings, its future, its current status, and what comes up next, what's on his agenda, and all that stuff. So anyways, your host James thanks you and much appreciates your company and downloading and supporting our podcast, That Metal Interview, all the way from the state of Texas in the U.S. of A. So anyways, here is the most recent jam from Titan's Wrath by the title of Will of the Beast, which is also the title of the EP. So check it out. We'll be right back. heavy metal at its best from Titan's Wrath, metal band from California, and let's cut it short. Here is our conversation with Riley, one of the guitar players for Titan's Wrath. Enjoy. Which part of the planet are you at? That's the first question.
We are located in San Bernardino, California, so just about an hour east of LA.
Did I read correctly? Did you guys just do a metal battle, or was that last year? Or was it both?
No, so we actually did both years, yeah. So yeah. We competed last year, and then we competed this year. It was for the walk-in battle of the bands. And, yeah, we competed last year. We didn't move on from the first round, but they only took one winner from our show last year. And then this time, we made it to the second round. And two bands from our show ended up getting to go to the, I guess it's the second to last round, I guess. So we didn't get chosen. But, yeah, we just did it. It's a really rad venue out by L.A. Called Stages. But, yeah, we just competed in that.
Well, at least you got that far. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. I mean, just the fact we made it to the second round was pretty awesome. And, you know, a lot of the bands that were there are just really talented guys. Yeah. So, you know, it was really cool to see all those faces again. You know, we jammed with all those bands in the past performance shows. So, you know, shout out to Tornadic and Anubis. They're going to be in San Diego, I think, in like 2 weeks. And then I think that's like all of California pretty much right there. And then whoever wins that one gets to battle the whole country out.
Really? Wow. I've heard of the contest. I just wasn't sure how it worked. And the ultimate prize is what? To compete at the...
So you get sent to Wacken, but it's like an international battle of the bands.
Okay. Gotcha.
I guess they do this battle in like 40 countries.
Wow.
And they have basically it's a battle of the bands. And they choose a winner every year. It's, like I said, 40 different countries they do this in. And wow. So one band gets to represent the U.S., and then they all battle it out at Wacken.
Very cool. Wow. Yeah. So next year, try to get next year.
So yeah, hopefully.
So before we get into your music, I want to ask, what's behind the name, Titan's Wrath? What's going on there, and whose idea was that?
So I don't know if you read anything about the bio, but we actually went by Leviathan when the first rendition of the lineup. We went under Leviathan, and that was at the end of 2019 when we formed. And the reason we ended up changing it, you know, when we first formed, we were like, oh, we're a little band, you know, there's a bunch of other Leviathans, but if everyone else is doing it, it'd be fine if we did it. But our first show was actually at the Whiskey A Go Go, and we got it like last minute. Someone offered it to us, and we got put on the bill. We opened up for, I don't know if you heard of Metalachi, they're mariachi band that covers metal music.
Oh, yes.
And really rad guys, and they promoted the hell out of us, you know, put us on the bill, you know, all the flyers and all that. But we were noticing people were like confusing us for other Leviathans. Like, I think one guy pointed out like 6 or 7 different Leviathans in the comments.
Really?
And yeah, and we were like crap, we're none of those. he's like is it this one from Sweden or is it this one from New York? Like, the dude just listed like all, and so as after that show, we were kind of like, well, let's change it. We wanted to keep the theme. You know, we kind of like the whole Leviathan monster kind of theme. And, you know, then the pandemic happened. We kind of broke up, reformed after a few months with the current lineup. And Tito, our other guitar player, he was just kind of like, you know, we were thinking like Leviathan's Wrath. And that was kind of going to be the first round, you know, the first song or name we were going to choose. But then he was like, well, let's shorten Leviathan. How about like Titan's Wrath? And it kind of stuck, and that, believe it or not, Leviathan's Wrath was taken, but Titan's Wrath wasn't. So that's why we decided to stick with it.
Okay, cool. That's very cool. Cool story there. Let's talk about your newest EP, Will of the Beast. Talk to us about the riffs and the lyrics and all that stuff.
You know, it's just 5 songs. It's our second EP going into Hell's Gate. You know, that song's just kind of about a kind of like a local haunted house. Kind of that's nicknamed Hell's Gate. You can actually look it up. There's lots of videos about it, and like I think like ghost hunters, like some guy ghost hunters on YouTube even went there. Basically the local like story is like the house burned down with like a family in it, and the house was set on fire by like a maid who got like possessed or something like that. It's just like a wives tale, you know. And so we kind of pulled a maiden and then just wrote the song about that. You know, Will of the Beast, that we took it from the biblical, you know, side of like Revelations, yeah. You know, that's like the beast coming back destroying Earth, you know. And so that was kind of our you know, we kind of just stuck with that. We kind of like that idea. So that's cool. How Will the Beast, and that's our favorite song as the band. So that's how it ended up as the, you know, the title, you know, the title track for the EP, essentially.
Nice.
We got Night Terror, which was that one was actually my idea for I watched this movie called Antlers. I don't know if you ever watched it, but
yeah,
it's about like the Native American cryptid, like the Wendigo.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really cool movie, and we had that song written, and we just needed lyrics, and I was just kind of sitting there watching the movie. I was like, you know, this is kind of rad. I'm gonna write about it, and so that's how the lyrics came up for that song. Nice. Crusader kind of had another biblical kind of like influence on it as well. It's just more like I forgot, we kind of were joking around with the song and called it because the song's in C minor, so we called it the C minor song forever, and we couldn't figure out what to write about it. And we were like, oh, C minor Crusader, and I was like, okay, cool, like talk about, you know, like Crusades. And so we kind of told about like both points, like, you know, people are essentially killing for the same god, you know, in this battle, and half the song you hear about one side, and they're kind of like the invaders trying to take back their holy land, and then the other side's the, you know, people trying to defend it, and then kind of just all mashes together at the end.
Cool.
And then Changes, the last song on the EP, that one was about personal struggle. I didn't write that. Was actually all Tito, our other guitar player. He had that song written from an older band, and I guess that's more about personal struggles, you know, throughout his life. And he's been sitting on that song for a while, and he was like, you know, I'd really like to put the song on the EP. He had it all demoed out already, so it was yeah, really cool. So we just kind of learned it and started jamming it, and yeah, that's pretty much all five songs.
So it's Tito the mastermind as far as the riffs go, or do everybody pitches in ideas, or
it's mostly me and him. Like I said, I would say it's I end up writing majority of the lyrics, and then usually I work with the singer, and he'll just kind of you know, work with him. He'll change some stuff to help him sing better. If he wants to sing about a different kind of idea, he'll work on that. But he usually typically just goes off the lyrics, you know, usually I'll write. And then me and Tito, we usually, the writing process goes, you know, him and I will shoot back riffs, you know, and you know, all the songs, like I said, Changes, that's all Tito, but like all the other songs, you know, half the riffs I came up with, you know, he came up with half the others. So I would say the majority of the riffs are done by, you know, both me and Tito. But usually what happens is me and Tito will hash it out. And Tito's a really gifted musician as well, so he knows a little bit about drums. So what he'll do is demo them out on drums. We'll send them out to the band, and the drummer and the bass player will mess around with the songs. And that's pretty much how those songs get written.
Cool. So how long did you guys take to write this EP?
That EP, so we actually did probably about a year, about maybe 9 months to a year.
Give or take,
we didn't stop writing. We dropped our first EP in, I want to say it was April of 2021, and we kind of just kept writing. We didn't stop. And so pretty much for the latter half of 2021, we were writing that. And then I want to say we ended up recording it, I think we started recording about early May.
Okay.
So I'd say it was about almost a year, I guess, it took us to write it. And then, you know, recording was all pretty much May, and then mixing and mastering took until about, I want to say October, or like September-ish.
Nice. Last year. Nice. Yeah. So I noticed you referenced the Bible a couple of times there with the lyrics. Do you, here's a different question. Do you believe the end of the world's coming soon, or...
Not necessarily, no. I wrote it. I'm a huge Maiden fan, and so is the rest of the guys in the band. So, you know, the Maiden has everything, you know, has a lot of biblical, you know, references in their song. You know, you got Number of the Beast, which that's actually about the same beast as Will of the Beast. I didn't realize that till after we had written the song. It was like, oh, they have a handful of other tunes, you know, as well. And that's just, you know, I grew up Christian, and there's a lot of, you know, interesting stories in the Bible that, you know, you can kind of reference. Like I said, it's not necessarily like on a Christian standpoint, you know, or we're not promoting Christianity necessarily, but it's just more like, so we're just huge Maiden fans, and just writing about, you know, specific like stories, you know, is really cool to us, you know. The last EP, we wrote a lot about Greek mythology, and had a few like mythology references in there as well.
Cool.
You know, so it's just kind of just hit or miss. Like I said, it's just kind of whatever inspires us, you know, at the moment kind of thing. And we were talking about, you know, like, you know, you mentioned the End of the World Revelations. That's that's probably one of the most interesting books in the Bible.
For sure, yeah.
We were talking, we would love to do, we're talking about doing, you know, once we feel like we're ready to start doing albums, we want to do a concept album on the book Revelations about the end of the world and, you know, how the Bible says it's supposed to end, you know, and all that. There's some pretty metal things going on in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So
crazy stuff.
But, yeah. But like I said, it's just kind of whatever happens to inspire us at the moment.
So when arranging this EP, did you guys shoot for fresh ideas? Or you mentioned that one of the songs, Tito had it for a while. Or did you guys shoot to make it sound similar to the last one? Or
So, yeah, like I said, every song was an original idea.
Yeah.
Like I said, all those songs were written right after the last EP. Tito's been in a handful of bands. He's been involved with the scene a lot longer than I have. And, you know, so he has a handful of songs that he was just kind of sitting on. And if you listen to our first EP, Symphony of Screams, that was another song that he had written for one of his old bands, and they never had the chance to record it because they ended up breaking up. And so I added lyrics to that song, and that's how that song, and that's actually our closer right now. So if you it's on all the, you know, streaming services. It's called Symphony of Screams, but that's, like I said, that was one of the other songs that he had written. But like I said, we were kind of working on a couple other ideas, and he was like, "Hey, I'd really like this, you know, song to, you know, be on the new EP." So we kind of scrapped those ideas and threw that song on there.
Yeah, I want to mention your singer. He has a real cool way of singing. He has high pitches, and then he has a low to mid voice. That's cool. What's his name for people that don't know?
Oh yeah, his name's Garrett. But yeah, no, he's a really cool dude. Like, he's a really talented guy. Yeah, we were kind of originally going for more of like a Halloween style kind of, you know, Maiden-ish kind of band. But the thing that sucks, you know, with at least in California, no one likes to sing anymore. You know, it's very hard to find a clean singer. You know, very rare bands will do that. You know, right now in Southern California, it's mostly like death and thrash metal, which I love, you know, and all of us in the band love all that stuff. But, you know, I wanted to do something a little bit more clean, you know, vocal range. And we ended up running into Garrett, and we actually tried him out. He did Painkiller and a couple of King Diamond songs, and we were just blown away with how well he did them. And so we asked him if he wanted to join, and the rest is history.
So let's speak of yourself here. At what age did you start playing guitar?
I was a late bloomer. I think I was around 16 or 17. And then ever since then, I'm 25 now, so it's been almost about 10 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I had a buddy of mine. I mean, I always kind of wanted to play, but I had a buddy who kind of influenced me. And plus, my parents were really into a lot of rock and metal. And so I just kind of all, you know, caved in. I started playing in cover bands. And then I decided, you know, I want to do my own original thing. And that's when I kind of formed Titan's Wrath. And that's where I've been. That's been doing that since about 2019.
So who are your influences, musical heroes, if you will?
Oh man, that's
there's a bunch of them.
Definitely guys like Eddie Van Halen and Randy Rhoads. Those are probably my two favorite guys. Glenn Tipton, I love Judas Priest. They're one of my favorite bands. Andy LaRocque from King Diamond. I'm a huge King Diamond fan.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of else. Vivian Campbell, you know, Dio and Whitesnake. You know, I love all his Dio stuff. Jeff Loomis, I'm a huge Nevermore fan as well. I'd say they're actually probably one of the other big influences, at least for me, on this band. Who else? You know, I love a lot of the 80s. George Lynch, Warren DeMartini. That's probably, like I said, a lot more of the 80s guys. You know, I think Jeff Loomis is probably one of the few, like one of the only, like, more modern guys that I'm really into.
Yeah, I noticed that. So why do you think, I've asked a lot of different artists the same question, who are your superheroes and all that, and most of them do point out to, you know, artists from the 80s, you know, a couple of 90s guys. Why do you think that is? Do you think there's no more great guitarists coming around, or what do you think is going on here?
No, I definitely think the whole concept of the guitar hero is still around. I think it's just in different, like, shapes and forms, if that sounds right. But, like, it's like, you know, like, the big thing right now, you know, it's just, like, whatever's big in metal. Like, the big thing right now is all those prog guys, you know? Yeah. So, you look at guys like John Petrucci, you guys got guys like Tim Henson, Jason Richardson, you know, those guys are phenomenal guitar players, you know? But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the way I kind of see it, you know, a lot of the 80s guys, that was way more commercial.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more easier listening to. It's a lot more kind of fun, relaxed, where it's like the music today is very... I feel like a lot of, like, the more popular metal music today is a little bit more critical, and, yeah. You know, they try to... You know, there's not a lot of feel, I guess, if that's what I'm trying to say, you know?
Too robotic, like, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, almost. You know, in fact, there was one band that I had a friend called, like, Elevator. I'm not going to say who, but it's like, it sounded like Elevator music, and I was kind of like, you know, you're kind of right, you know? And, you know, so I think the whole concept of the Guitar Hero, that's still around. It's definitely still around. There's still these guys who are inspiring people to pick up the guitar. But
yeah,
I just don't think... I think it's a little too... It's gotten a little too... Not necessarily show-off-ish, but it's gotten to the point of where you know, it's not very easy listening. Like, you have to... I feel like most people who like these prog guys are also musicians, you know? So they understand the music. They feel the music. Where it's like your average, like, listener... probably yeah. doesn't, you know.
Gotcha.
So I don't think, like I said, I don't think the Guitar Hero is dead, but you have to also realize all these guys also did something, invented something really cool, you know, almost, and you know, they were the start of it. So once they started doing it, you know, it got huge in the 80s, and
yeah.
Not to say that everything's been done already,
yeah.
but it kind of has, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so that's where these prog guys kind of come in, and they're amazing musicians. But like, oh, yeah. I said, a lot of people, there's a certain level of technical that people like, you know, and then you get to the point where you start kind of losing people, you know.
Yeah, it's just a question, you know. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge '80s fan myself, and just to point out a couple of great guitar players, more modern guys. Let's point out the guys from Dragon Force. Let's point out John 5. You know, there's a couple of, you know. There's great talent out there. I'm just...
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the heroes, of course, I understand the heroes are Eddie Van Halen, Lynch, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's just a question. Don't I understand.
Yeah. Herman Lee's a great guitar... I've actually met him a couple times at NAMM.
Oh, really?
No, he's a great guy. I didn't consider... I was thinking more, like, more recently, like... Because, like, John 5, like, I considered him more, like...
2000s.
I mean, he was, like, Manson, right?
And, yeah.
Rob Zombie forever. So I was, like, thinking, like, you know, he's, like, more, like, early 2000s, late 90s.
2000, yeah.
But, yeah, those guys are... I mean, now he's playing with Motley Crue. He's living the dream right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Awesome. Know? Yeah, what a dream.
but, yeah, both those guys are really rad. You know, I love... John 5 solo stuff's awesome. You know, and Herman Lee. Yeah, Dragon Force, I was really... I got really into Dragon Force when I was playing guitar. In fact, that's why he's kind of part of the reason why I play Ibanez right now is because, like I said, I saw he played Ibanez, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. Him and Paul Gilbert were both the two guys who kind of inspired me to go to Ibanez.
So give us a quick rig rundown, now that you mentioned your guitar.
So, yeah, I play mostly I have an Ibanez Zyphos, which I want to say it's like a 2008 model from what I could tell. So I think I'm like the third or fourth owner. But it's my favorite guitar in my collection right now. You know, I pretty much run... I'm a pretty standard guy. I run that into... I just got the brand new Jeff Loomis Devil's Triad pedal, which is a OD boost and a reverb and delay pedal all in one. And I just run pretty much from that into a B52.
Yeah.
120-watt head, and that's my rig.
Nice.
Keep it simple. I've never been a guy to really mess with a lot of pedals or anything like that, and I'm not really too crazy about, you know, like amp modelers. Even though they're cool, like, if you could dial them in, there's a lot of cool, like, amp modelers out there, like, you know, Kemper and Axe-FX, but I've just never really had the time or money to really get into one, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the B-52, they're kind of like... You know, someone called it the poor man's triple rectifier, and I honestly kind of agree with that statement. You know, it's a really bitchin' amp. You know, I love it, and like I said, I pretty much just run through that 3-in-1 pedal and straight into the head.
Just straight, huh? Yep. I play guitar myself. I play a little bit of guitar here in Texas, and I've always believed it's not about how many toys you got, how many pedals. I mean, if you give any guitar to Malmsteen or Steve Vai, I mean, I'm sure it's gonna sound like them, right? And without those toys, of course. So it's all, I think it's in the person, really, in your fingers and the talent.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Yeah, like I said, it's just, I mean, hauling an amp is just enough work as it is. And then I just can't imagine dealing with, like, you know, I've jammed with guitar players who've had like 30 pedals on a board. And,
right.
It's just like, how are you doing that, you know? But, you know, to each their own. Like I said, there's guys who I know who have like 10 pedals and they make it work, you know. The big thing, you know, I've been noticing with a lot of guys is they'll get like a power amp pedal, Okay. And then they'll run a distortion pedal through that and just run that into a cab. And that's actually a really rad way of doing it.
Okay.
You know, I have my buddy Johnny, he has the Seymour Duncan just came out with this new power amp. And he runs a, believe it or not, a metal zone. It's a Boss Metal Zone.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Those are nice.
And that's literally all he runs. And then, you know, he has a couple reverb and delay. But I think in total, he has like about five pedals on his rack.
Yeah.
And it sounds pretty good. You know, he plays black metal, so, you know, he tunes really low. Like, I don't think it would sound good if, you know, I was playing what, you know, we only tune a half step, you know.
Okay.
So I don't think it would sound good half step, but I think definitely in, like, drop B, drop A, you know, what he tunes, you know, that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the newer rig I've been kind of seeing as well.
Very cool. Yeah, to each his own, you know, that's cool. If 10 pedals work for you or just one, that's fine, you know, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I never really dealt with reverb and delay, but like I said, yeah, this pedal was, you know, for $300, you get three pedals in one, and
yeah,
the OD pedal is one of the best OD pedals that I've ever owned, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's really good, and they just dropped it, too, like a few months ago. So it's, I was really lucky to get one. But nice. Yeah, I definitely, anyone who's listening, I definitely recommend looking into it.
Very cool. So you mentioned you met Herman Lee. Any other rock stars, metal stars that you've met?
Oh, man, dude. So, yeah, I go to NAMM every year. So,
okay.
Or not every year, but almost. You know, I've been to NAMM like four or five times. I've met Chris Broderick, Jeff Loomis, John Petrucci.
Wow.
You know, Steve Morse, Phil Collin, Gus G. I think who else? I got a list. There's Paul Gilbert.
Wow.
You know, Jason Richardson. And I got to look through DJ Ashba.
Wow.
There's Richard Fortus, the other guy from Guns N' Roses.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Wow.
There's just so, you know, I've gotten really lucky now. I'm just running into some guys, and they're all really cool. I've never had, like, a bad experience with meeting anybody, you know. Everyone was really nice. Oh, there was also, I met Richie Faulkner, the priest. He was, like, he's, like, one of my idols. You could throw him on the list of some of my favorite guys.
Exactly. Yeah, we forgot about him, yeah.
Yeah, no, so he was at NAMM, I want to say, the last time I went, which was, like, 2019, I want to say, around
yeah.
there.
Wow.
See, there's, you know,
a lot of stars.
So I met a lot of dudes. It was pretty, you know, I'm really thankful to run across, but, you know, it's really cool just walking around, and you see one of these guys, you get to shake their hand, and, you know,
wow.
They're all really, really rad dudes.
Wow, very cool. I've never been to one, so I'm in Texas, but one day I'll go, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Give us your best gig and your worst gig so far.
Ooh, my best gig right off the bat, we played the Whiskey about a year, about a year ago. I think it was last June. We played the Whiskey. We opened up for the Iron Maidens, and nice. The place was actually packed when we performed.
Nice.
And so just having that, the Whiskey, knowing that it was the Whiskey, having it packed and the crowd reaction was really cool. And then even the members of the band came up to us. Actually, all the bands were like, you know, we love, you know, you guys were so cool. You know, you guys are really rad. And so just to hear from the headliner, you know, the Iron Maidens, who, you know, they're obviously a big band, you know,
yeah.
For them to tell us that, hey, you guys rock. We loved your set.
Courtney Cox. Was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was really cool. Worst gig, trying to think, with Titans Wrath, we've never really had a gig where I was like, oh, that was just bullshit, you know. I've never really had a gig. The only gig I could think of was, I want to say it was our first, we played a backyard show in 2021, it was like our first show with the current lineup. And we got one song in and the cops rolled up and we got shut down.
Oh.
So that was like fun because we were waiting like all night to play, and I think we were like second to last or something like that. Like, we were considered one of the headliners. It was like our first show as like this current lineup, you know.
Oh,
and it was,
man.
Still COVID was still going on, so everyone was doing backyard shows out here in California, and it kind of sucked too because the band that went on before us, they went over their time limit.
Okay.
And they just kind of took their sweet time. They were like a grindcore kind of band, and they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
By the time we went on, I think it was like an hour after we were supposed to go on initially, and we jammed one song. It was like, hell yeah, this is going great. And then
cops.
We were about to rip into the second one, and three or four cops rolled through, and we're like, oh fuck.
Oh, so man.
Cops were cool, you know. In fact, they actually one of them like, you know, you guys, this first song is pretty rad, but you know, sorry we had to shut you down. I was like, you know. Yeah, they could have been dicks about it, but they weren't, you know.
Wow, what a bummer.
But yeah, like I said, we've been pretty fortunate enough not to have any, like, super, super shitty gigs. You know, obviously we're going to have gigs where the stage is, like, 2 feet long and, you know, you got to play, you know, the sound's just really off. But, you know, it's just kind of rock and roll, you know? It's just, you know, this is going to happen. But yeah, like I said, we've been pretty blessed with, you know, not having
any
like, really shitty gigs, you know?
Nice. So here's a off-the-wall question. If you could time travel, where would you travel to and which year?
Oh, I thought about this a few times. there's also, there's the US Festival, US Festival in 83.
Yeah.
82? I guess it's 82.
Yeah.
82, 83, somewhere around there. But, you know, you had Motley Crue, Priest, Van Halen, Scorpions.
Killer lineup, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that was, just to see them in their prime like that would just be awesome. You know, they did that, actually, like, down the street from where I'm at right now. That was in San Bernardino.
Wow.
And so just to see that, you know, just the fact that it was, like, you know, pretty much down the street from where I'm currently living is kind of just cool. They built, actually, a music venue there now just because of it.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, so it was really cool.
So that's where you would travel to. Okay, cool.
I'd probably say, yeah, it'd be close, you know, close to home, yes, I guess, kind of. The other one would be, like, Woodstock. I think Woodstock, like, 69 would be really rad. See Hendrix in his prime.
Wow.
You know, so it'd probably be one of those, but it'd definitely be a music festival from, like, the 80s or, like, you know, 70s or 60s.
Yeah, cool choices. So what's next for yourself, Riley? What's next for the band?
Right now, we still kind of haven't stopped writing. We have a few more songs we're working on. We got kind of two things going for us right now. I mean, other than just playing shows and trying to promote the EP, we've been talking and we really do want to do an album. And so we're going to try to start working on our debut album here pretty soon.
Nice.
On top of that, you know, we released a demo back in mid-2020. And we're also talking about maybe redoing those songs and reissuing them, you know, and kind of give those songs a little bit of justice. Because we all really liked a lot of those songs, but we didn't have really the money to do really a good production. So we actually kind of did it ourselves. And it came out as you would expect it, you know.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about doing that. So that's just kind of it right now. But other than that, we've been pretty busy playing shows. We're playing in Anaheim this Friday, and we got a couple other shows coming up in June and July already, so it's been pretty good. We've also been planning a few other shows, you know, getting the scene kind of going. You know, we got our buddies in California, Villain, Trapmaker, Seven, you know, we're kind of getting a heavy metal scene kind of going back and rolling. So those are some local, really cool Southern California bands if you guys want to check them out.
Nice.
But yeah, you know, so we've been, you know, pretty busy. It's been going pretty well, but like I said, hopefully by this time next year we'll be recording our debut album.
Awesome. So where can fans listening, where can they find Titan's Wrath? Facebook, Instagram?
We're on both right now. Just look up Titan's Wrath Metal on both, and you can go ahead and follow us there. You know, just look up Titan's Wrath on any streaming service, and we're there too. Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, Pandora, you know, you name it, we're on it. Bandcamp, you know, we have a link in our bio on all our social media sites too that you can look up. So if you want to find out any of our music, if you have a specific preference on how you want to listen to your music, we're probably on it. But yeah, like I said, Instagram, Facebook, that's probably the best place to check us out.
Would you like to send a message to your friends and music fans listening to this podcast?
Yeah, you know, we appreciate the support. You know, several of the songs have already gotten over 1,000 views on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music. So, you know, we just really want to thank you guys for all the support. You know, all over the world too. You know, we've been blessed with, you know, sending out CDs to, you know, Japan, Poland, Brazil, you know, kind of all over the world. So, you know, we're really thankful for you guys. You know, just keep up with the support, and hopefully, like I said, this time next year we'll have an album for you guys.
Awesome, Riley. Thank you for making time. It's cool chatting with you. And
no, you too, man. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you in Texas one day.
We'd love to come out. Like I said, that's we're hoping to look at, you know, possibly playing like out of state too. So this year we've been in talks with some promoters out of state. So hopefully maybe not Texas, but we'll start making our way towards that, you know, that way.
Well, thank you for making time, Riley, and let's check out, people listening, check out their EPs and music on streaming services. Will of the Beast is the last one, so check it out. So thank you for your time, Riley. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me, James. Have a good one.
Thank you, Riley. Thank you for making time and chatting with us on the band Titan's Wrath and all of the side projects that are involved in your life and your career, man. Very cool. And thank you for the great music that you guys are providing and carrying the flag, the metal flag, shall I say, in the future. So anyways, go ahead and visit the band on social media, as he told you guys. Check him out on social media. Check him out on YouTube. And, of course, all streaming platforms where you can find their music. Titans is like the Titanic, T-I-T-A-N apostrophe S, Wrath, W-R-A-T-H. My name is James, and I appreciate your company. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and don't forget to ring the bell so you can get all notifications of the latest news and the latest episodes of this podcast. And thank you guys and girls for your support. Don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.